Good morning, everybody. Dr. Ben Edwards here, another episode of You're the Cure. I'm excited to do part three with Madon Wingo today, and we also have a couple of our wellness navigators, Angie Romans and Nicole Powell, and we're just going to have a conversation. I know we covered a lot of ground in part one and part two, and I've already gotten some questions at the clinic. I've had some folks email me and stop me on the in the visit and ask me some questions, and even last week's show with Andrew Womack. So y'all keep sending those questions in. Next week's show, I think I'm just going to spend that hour answering questions that these last few shows have brought up. And so y'all email those in, info@veritasmedical.com, or during this show next week, you can just text them in, or if you want it to be completely anonymous, you can mail it to us, our mailing address on the website, veritasmedical.com. If you did not hear part one and two, go back on the archive page at veritasmedical.com under resources. We put all the old podcasts there. All right. Before we jump in and finish this conversation off, I just wanted to preface this by saying I don't have all the answers. And I mean, hopefully y'all all know me well enough by now to know that. I try to be humble about things. Sometimes I get a little excited and a little aggressive. But it's all coming from a heart of my desire is for every patient to be set free from their captivity. And I consider these sicknesses and diseases bondage. And I don't believe God designed us that way. I believe he designed us perfectly and our bodies should function. And they used to, just looking in the physical, which is what we always, I mean, 90% of our shows, I think, here, we're talking about physical protocols. You know, we know the mitochondria is the key to energy production in the cell, and the mitochondria needs nutrients, and it needs sunshine, and it needs quality hydration. It doesn't need to be toxified with excess iron and glyphosate and other toxins. I mean, there's all that stuff in the physical that we talk about. All that's true. We have a physical body. But it's also very clear, even in secular you know, intellectual realms of just science, which that's a whole nother talk. I heard someone this week say science doesn't have answers. Science is questions. That's all science is asking questions. And we've misplaced this science word up there as a god, little g, as an idol, as our savior. And there's a limitation to scripture we call the carnal mind. Carnal being the physical, the natural, your senses, what you can see and touch and taste and smell and measure under a microscope, and, you know, just all the physical stuff. And we talk plenty about that. But it's clear that even if you want to look just quantum physics level, keep it purely secular and intellectual, there's this realm out in the subatomic world. There's energetic forces, there's frequencies. Dr. Emoto, I talk about all the time with water. And the impacts of the spoken word on our water, on the water molecule, the actual structure of it. And we're 90% water, and our DNA floats in water, and the mitochondria floats in water, and the cells made of water, and your thoughts and words actually impact that water. That's very, very clear in the literature. So that's why we ultimately why I keep going back to these kind of topics beyond the natural physical realm only, which we'll get back to that. I mean, there's some cool stuff I've been. Some new things, new thoughts, new things, new discoveries in that physical realm. We'll talk about them in the coming weeks. But what I've learned in 10 years is, you know, inadvertently, really, is we collectively, as at Veritas, collectively in society, even the body of Christ, it seems like, but for sure I can speak to Veritas, we've put the physical up front and center, the diet, the supplements, the exercise, the first three pillars. And I think Angie and Nicole can attest to this, and obviously Madon can. If you remember back from part one and two, Madon was, I mean, she's what I would call, she was scoring A+. Because what I do with my patients when they come for a follow-up, I ask them, grade yourself on the four pillars, nutrition, hydration, movement, peace. Where are you at? A, B, C, or F? And I would say she would have been grading out A+ across the board in the physical, eating perfect. I mean, home cooked meals, grinding her own grain, doing all the ferments, you know, all the stuff. And I'm not, you know, hear me. What I'm saying is, it's not that that's not important, but is there something more powerful, more important, more impactful on your health? And that's the question that I'd encourage everybody to pursue. I've concluded, after walking with thousands of patients over 10 years at Veritas, that yes, it's exceedingly important. Not that you can't get a lot done by just fasting and watching your diet or whatever you want to do in the physical, and I'm not discounting that. But long-term, full, true health and wellness, don't need a doctor, symptom-free, this other realms needs to be considered, is what I would submit to all of y'all listeners to consider. So I don't have all the answers. I don't know everything. I don't want to come across as knowing everything. And scripture talks about even just speaking all this out without love. It's like a clanging cymbal or a resounding gong. So ultimately, we want to love each other, love our neighbor, love our creator. If you don't believe in a creator and you don't believe in any scriptural anything, that's okay. We're still going to love you. You still be a patient. We're still going to give you our best and do the best for you. Who doesn't want to be loved? So ultimately, love is what's got to be underneath all this. But at the same time, there's a lack of knowledge. There's a need for a maturing in the body of Christ. So even though we don't have all the answers, I would encourage people to seek the kingdom. Seek that first. Above all else, just keep seeking, get in the word, seek, pray, knock. And I think, as Madon has talked about, it's amazing that God will meet you there. God wants you well. So I just wanted to throw that out there. We'll do Q&A next week. Send in your questions. info@veritasmedical.com. Madon, thank you. Welcome back to the show. Thank you for joining us again today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. I know this is 3 hours of your valuable time you've spent with us, or about to spend that third hour with us, so we really appreciate it. Again, the point of this is to bring hope, to bring encouragement, hopefully pique curiosity, where people will be encouraged to seek the truth, seek the deeper truth. I think we can all agree, because it's clear the American healthcare system is completely broken in so many ways, but just outcomes wise, I just saw the headline again today, and I've been saying this for 10 years, we have the worst life expectancy. We die younger than anybody, and our infant mortality, Madon, in the midwifery realm, you know this well, our infant mortality is number one. More of our babies die. More of our kids are sick. We can at least agree on something is really off. And most of this physical disease has come over the past 100 years. So at least let's step back and admit, man, we're on the wrong path. Let's go a different way. And like I said in the show, obviously in the physical, there's things to do different. Don't be a standard American eater, sitter, stressor, all the things Americans do so well that lead to physical disease. But this deeper level and what we term the peace pillar, and I forgot to mention, and I didn't do the announcement, Peace Pillar 101. I'm doing that tomorrow night, February 7th, at the Merck at 6:30. That'll also be on Zoom. You can get on social media and get the link for that. Forgot about that. So anyways, Madon, your story and your testimony is so, it really drives this point home to me, because you were walking in such a state of physical, doing the three pillars so well. And to have a healing like you did in a moment, basically October 1st, 2022. So I know you have a lot to say here. I'm going to shut up now, but it's a beautiful testimony. So I want to give you the floor and you share whatever's on your heart. I know Angie Nicole might chime in too with some thoughts, because I know their desire is for people to be well. They love people. They love the truth. They love people to be well. They don't know the whole truth either, but they're continually seeking, as I think pretty much everyone at Veritas, most of our patients, I think, are too. And I'm encouraging everyone to do, if you're not, can continue your personal journey. But go ahead, Madon.
Yeah, well, that asking questions is so important for our walk. I know lots of people have questions after hearing my testimony, and that's good. I would say, you know, dive into those questions, because we have the truth and you can get answers. And that's something where I was asking so many questions that I didn't see the answers to, because I had a veil in front of me. And I thought that I had thought all the answers through the physical, like you said, doing, you know, all the pillars and seeking, you know, what we could in doctors and, you know, specialists and even surgeries, you know, lots of things that in the natural would be, you know, should have answers, but we didn't, we didn't, none of it provided healing. The only healing came when I decided to start walking in the truth. And that was such a pivotal moment. And it's hard. I listened to part two myself, and my husband and I both were just in tears at the end of it, because we were like, how much has happened in the last few months is amazing. It's just, there's so much. And I felt like we ended it with the healing, but we didn't get to go into so much of what that walk looked like and how we got to that point. Because, and then since then, what things have been like, because I'll tell you right now, since then, you would think that I've probably gained 15 pounds because I can eat everything now. I can eat anything I want. I can go have a cheesecake. I can go have a steak. I can, you know, any of it. There's nothing. And I haven't gained any weight. That's because the Lord's so good. Because it's been so freeing to get to eat things. But what's been more freeing has been the change in my walk and the way I view things and my belief and my trust and what the Lord has really opened my eyes to see me for who he created me to be, because I couldn't see that before. And I was just looking at some scripture. I was going to Romans 8 a little bit ago and reading through that. And then I happened to stop at 1, because I usually don't read at 1. I usually skip down, because my favorite is Romans 8:18, which talks about the glory being revealed in us. The glory of Christ being revealed in us. And I think that's amazing. But then I was reading just now on Romans 8:1, and it said, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And that was the key. I had been condemning myself for so long because I had chose, as Nicole and Angie would testify to, I had chose to believe the lies, believe what the enemy was telling me on a daily basis, so many times a day, that I was a failure, that everything was my fault. All of that came from the enemy, because God does not condemn us. There's no condemnation in Christ. And he said, I didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be free. And that's what I've realized. I finally, belief is so important that I decided to believe in the truth and dig into that, because who am I to condemn myself? When Christ says that I am beloved, that I am a daughter of the King of Kings, that I can walk with him abiding in me. I mean, Christ Jesus in me, that's pretty powerful. And I wasn't walking in that before. I didn't realize how. I felt trapped. Like, I didn't know how to do it. Like, I could see it far off. Like, okay, that's a great goal. That's amazing. But how do I get from where I am to there? And it took a lot of, as you said once, the hard work. Like, not physical hard work, but just lots of digging in and being able to let go of those preconceived notions of how God works and our religiosity that we get caught up in, of that, I mean, religion has really put God in a box, because all these different denominations and all these different religious sects, everybody has their own box of how God works. And I've not seen any of them that actually go completely to scripture and what Christ told us and how he said that God works and how we're supposed to walk in him. And that's from a place of confidence and authority and trust and freedom in him. And that's not how I was walking before. But I'll tell you, that's how I'm walking now.
Amen, sister. Well, and it shows. But I want to throw in there too, it's so easy, at least my background of performance and religion, to say, okay, tell me step 1, 2, 3. And we want this, you know, we want a program. We want a formula. Where it's not that. I mean, even listen to your testimony, okay, we hear the general idea, and then someone may just want to jump in there and try to put a formula to it. I'm going to do what Madon did. But it's such a unique and individualized thing. It's a personal relational thing. It's not just books and words and rules and laws. And we talked about spiritual laws last week with Andrew Womack. So, I mean, yes, the word has truth that we need to live by, but it's such a personal journey. And that's where it goes specifically into that you mentioned in part two, identity and the lies that you believe. So maybe, I mean, unless you had something else on what you were saying, but talk specifically on this walking in the thought of a lie, how that impacts you, what you would say even gave you a false identity. That's a, I don't know if that term's actually in scripture, but it's a
Absolutely.
good way to think about it. If you're believing a lie, it can cause fruit to come out of your life that's not good fruit.
Because my perspective is wrong. If I'm walking in that lie, then everything I'm doing, I'm acting, I'm saying, I'm interacting with people, everything comes from that wrong perspective and out of that lie. So it permeates into every single part of your life. And that's not the truth. That's the bondage that the enemy would love for us to stay in. But when we have freedom and we're walking in that perspective of Christ in me and speaking truth and walking in love, then that completely changes our perspective and changes the outwardness of that, how I speak. So one big thing that was really big for me is I didn't realize how my language had gotten about my pelvis injuries, about Alpha Gal, and about my body, how negatively I spoke to my body all the time. I remember saying, like, this stupid body, it's, oh, I'm having a stupid allergic reaction again, and I would condemn myself for it, right? Oh, I'm gonna have to be taking these shots for the next week. Or even, in my thoughts all the time, I would talk about how stupid I was for different things. I would talk about what a failure I am as a mom, as a wife. I would do something, and maybe nothing was wrong with that. I was having a conversation with somebody, and as I'm walking away from the conversation, I'm immediately questioning every single thing I said and pointing out all the things I did wrong, even though there was probably nothing wrong with that conversation. But that was the mindset, that was the thought process that I was having, and having this battle back and forth. And I remember one of the biggest moments for me was just connecting the dots to that scientific part that we talk about, that water holds memory, and then scripture that says the power of life and death is in the tongue. And then what does that mean for us walking that out? Well, every time I'm speaking so negatively to myself, and I am thinking so negatively to myself, then I am killing myself because I have that power, because God gave it to me, but I'm not using it correctly, because I'm supposed to be seeing myself, having a vision of myself the way Christ sees me, and seeing myself for who he says that I am, and not what the enemy says that I am. So I started stopping, like, and we're supposed to take those thoughts captive, right? And be transformed by the renewing of your minds, and taking those thoughts captive. So how do we do that? Well, that takes practice. That takes, every time I would start having these, after this realization happened, every time I'd start having those negative thoughts, I would literally just pause and just say out loud, no, that's not the truth. That's a lie. Christ says that I am, that I have authority, or that I am love, because he's love and he's abiding in me. Or no, that's a lie, because Christ abides in me, so I cannot do those things, or I did not fail at that. I must succeed. And I would literally just pause and start confessing these things out loud, so that I would start having that mindset change and calling myself out on those things. And I realized I started doing the same thing for my husband and my kids. I would hear them say something negative about themselves, and I was like, whoa, no, what does Christ say about you? And I even stopped once. My mom said something once, and I turned and I looked at her. I said, stop. And she looked at me shocked, because I'm kind of loud about it. I kind of said it, and she just said, what? And I said, if Christ was standing in front of you right now, would he say that about you? And she said, no. I said, then why in the world are you saying it to yourself because he abides in you. And I know I sound really strong talking with, and I feel the same way with you, Dr. Van, as you were saying earlier. Like, I know people can take that as like super strong because I've got all these things I want to say about it, but it's because I'm so passionate because what God's done for me and what I've seen. And it's not, I am special in the fact that I am a child of God and, you know, I'm walking in the kingdom, but he offers that to everybody. It's not just to me. It's to everybody. Everybody can have that freedom if they so choose it.
Right. I'll share a little bit about, if you remember, because you mentioned in, I think it's part one, that you and I were talking in your initial visit, and then we got on the subject of thoughts, and maybe there's some thinking that's not lined up with the truth and believing a lie, maybe an identity issue. And then you went to visit with Nicole or Angie or both, I don't recall, but mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about both. That visit from the perspective of, in case there's other patients or listeners
sure.
in the wellness program who have thought about maybe wanting to explore this, what did that look like? What were some moments in there that kind of helped you?
For sure. So I got to sit down with Angie and Nicole, and it was some great conversations. But as I said before, they were hard. I will say, because you have to ask questions of yourself and really look at what are you believing? Because it's hard to say, boy, I really have been lining up with the enemy this whole time, because that's not who I want to be. And what questions, like I said, are so good because they help you dig in. And that is a lot of what Angie and Nicole did for me, was asking me questions. So when they would ask a question and I give an answer, even asking a question about that, well, why did you respond with that? Because why are you coming from that direction? And one of the things that we were trying to figure out, that they asked me, was trying to figure out, we all have lies that the enemy tries to tell us all the time. And most of the time, I know Nicole said this numerous times, that the enemy is a smart in this battle that he's in. And he knows that a way to really get somebody, and he does this often, is in youth and in childhood, where you're so receptive to those lies, and taking something from that time and planting that in your mind, and that being something that's repeated all the time. So one of the things that they did with giving me homework was to really delve into that and see, what lie have I been agreeing with that was the root of all of this wrong thinking? And that was hard at first, because I remember I was thinking like, well, maybe it's this and maybe it's that. And we even had that discussion. I don't remember, Angie, correct me if I'm wrong, was that first appointment or the second appointment where the Holy Spirit spoke to me afterwards?
It was the first one.
Yeah, I couldn't remember. So in that appointment, we had been talking, I had said, I thought that one of them was that I'm a failure, because I felt like I had always seen like that neon sign just flashing in my head, failure, failure, failure. And I thought that was it. But they encouraged me to go and pray about it and ask the Holy Spirit to really just show me what it was so that I could get to the root of it and fix it. And I think I was there at Veritas, and I don't remember what else we were doing, but we had just got done with our discussion and meeting, and I went to the bathroom. I came out, and I was really just praying about it as I was walking and talking and thinking, and I came out, and I was like, oh, I know what it is. Because Angie and Nicole were in the kitchen, and Angie's like, okay. And I was like, the Lord just told me what it was. Okay, now I know where we're starting from. And it wasn't the failure piece. It was, it's my fault. Everything's my fault. Yeah. And that had came from a very early age.
Right. Angie and Nicole, I'll just open up to both of you. Do y'all recall that first visit, or just in general, even if it's not specifically with Madon? But
I do. I just remember her coming out and telling us the Holy Spirit just told me what it is. It's that everything is my fault. And I just thought, this is good. This is how it works. The Holy Spirit tells you. It's not us trying to look for something or make something up or decide what we think it is at all. It comes out of your own relationship with Holy Spirit, and he will tell you what the false identity is, if there is one, or what lie you've believed, or even remind you of the first memory as a child or whenever that you made an agreement with a lie. So that's really key that he does that. And then he does that because he wants to set you free.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I just want to, for the listener, just a real practical example that to make this, drive this home. You know, if you were raised in a home, and I think I've talked about this before in my own life, if you didn't feel love, if it wasn't a nurturing home and the word love wasn't used, or that even that emotion really expressed for whatever reason, then a thought could come in that you're rejected. Your parents don't love you. They're not saying it. They're not really showing it. So therefore they don't. And that thought could come. That's not the truth. But if you let that percolate, let that soak in, let that sink in, and basically you start like thinking, yeah, I think I'm rejected, and you believe that, you agree with that, then that's going to have an impact on your thinking, obviously. I mean, it'll leave a hole in your heart for something, and that something would be acceptance. If you are believing you're rejected, you want to feel accepted. You want to feel loved and accepted. So then a thought could come in that says, well, if you'll just perform, if you'll do good in school and do good in basketball and do good at the stock show and do good in choir and do good in Sunday school and just perform and make all A's and perfect attendance and all this, perform, then, because people react to that with good job. And here's an award, and here's a certificate, and here's a trophy. You get confused with, wow, performance equals love and acceptance. And man-pleasing, same thing. People-pleasing, if I can keep everybody happy and always smiling at me and saying good job, I mean, then you're all those are lies that you need to keep everyone happy, that you need to perform to get love, and that you're rejected. Those are three big lies, all stemming from this growing up experience. And so that's how this sneaky thing can happen, something like that, just boom. And then those thoughts cloud your judgment really for the rest of your life. You act out of those because that's clouding your vision and your thoughts. And so maybe you're a yes man the rest of your life, and at work you are a workaholic and you say yes to everything and you take on all this stuff, and then you're not at home. So now there's stress at home, and you know, well, I could go on and on. I'll maybe do this more next week on my own testimony. But that's just an example. And for those who don't believe thoughts could come from the enemy versus the truth, I'd encourage you to go to Matthew 16. Just read through there, starting around verse 13, when Jesus asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? And they said, well, some guys say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, some say you're Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And they said, okay, Peter, who do you say I am? And he said, You're the Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. So that thought, those words, that thought came from God, came through his spirit man, as Watchman Nee talks about so much in his books, which I love. And I encourage y'all to read some of Watchman Nee's stuff on spirit man versus your flesh, your outer man. But then just a few verses later, after Jesus says, well, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, they're going to persecute me, kill me, I'm going to rise on the third day. And Peter says, no way, we're not letting that happen. And Jesus turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. Obviously, Peter wasn't Satan, but that thought that led to those words that weren't the truth came from the enemy. So we have a million thoughts of, I don't know what Caroline Leaf or Bruce Lipton says, or the research says, how many thoughts a second or a minute or a day that we have, but it's a lot. And that thought can be through your soul, influenced by the liar, versus through your spirit, influenced or from the truth. Or just, you know, these thoughts of other men that thought Jesus was Jeremiah or a prophet. But that's just a little something to go study that. If this whole notion of you can have thoughts influenced by a liar versus the Holy Spirit, the truth, you know, that'd be a good scripture to study. Did that induce any comment from any of y'all before we're up against a break almost, but I don't want to cut y'all off if y'all had a thought in line with that.
No, that's good.
Well, it made me think about something you said in our first appointment, Dr. Ben, just about how, who are we lining up with and how that affects the physical body. And when we agree with those lies so much, we're allowing the enemy to have access to our body. And that's where disease and sickness and illness will reside in us. But if we're instead walking in the truth and aligning ourselves up with the truth, then the body has to be made whole, because God says that he wants us to be well, to be made whole, so that we can complete all the things on the earth that he wants us to do for him, so that we can, you know, spread his word, so that we can have Christ abiding in us and walking in love and doing everything from that position of love in Christ.
Amen. That's really good. Okay. We're up against this break. We are visiting with Madon Wingo. Go back and listen to part one and two on our archive page at veritasmedical.com. We'll be right back. Stick with us. We'll finish this testimony up. Thank you all for being with us today. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Dr. Ben Edwards. You're listening to You're the Cure. We archive these on our website, veritasmedical.com, under the podcast page, under the resource tab, or on iTunes. We have them on there under You're the Cure. I'll be giving a talk tomorrow night, Peace Pillar 101 at the Merck, or upstairs at the Merck, 6:30. So y'all come listen to that. There's lots of other classes. I don't have that schedule in front of me right now, but y'all can get on Instagram, Veritas Healthy Community, and we have our calendar there. All right, Madon, we're right back at it. That flew that first half, so I'm going to be quiet. I feel like I talked too much, but I want you to keep sharing. And Angie and Nicole, chime in when you want to too. You mentioned during the break about wanting to share on what happened, how you started walking, what happened after all this. So you take it from there.
Sure. So I had several different meetings with Angie and Nicole, just kind of once we were able to get to the bottom of, you know, okay, what lie is it that I've really been in agreement with, and that is the source of where a lot of this wrong thinking came from. So once we could recognize that, then it was that being transformed by the renewing of my mind and trying to stop every time those lies came in, stopping them, telling them they weren't allowed to reside in me because Christ was abiding in me. So lies could not be in Christ. It could only be the truth. And I started walking in that. And not only did I start walking in that, I started walking in expectation of God's healing. And I know I had said before in my testimony that the Lord told me he was healing me. And I just didn't see, like, I felt like, where is it? It's only partial healing had happened and the rest hadn't. And that healing started, like, he started transforming my mind and the way I was thinking and the way I was talking. So then that was the piece that was like, okay, I don't need to be walking this way. But so then the question was, how do I need to be walking? Because I feel like a lot of times we get caught up, and especially those of us who have been in church a lot and different things, that we get caught up in the things that we aren't to do. Don't do this. You don't do that. You don't do this. You know, as a Christian, you're supposed to, you know, stay away from this and stay away from that. And we can get caught up in all of that instead of, okay, how am I to walk? How am I to live? How am I to think and speak? And that was a big piece, not only for me personally, but for our whole family, and starting to walk in that. What does Christ say? If he's abiding in me, how would he be walking in this moment? How would he be speaking in this moment? And I completely changed how I was talking out loud and in my head. And I started saying, when anybody would say, like, we were at some place to eat, and they're like, oh, Madon can't have that, she's allergic. And I said, oh, I'm a work in progress, God's healing me. Or somebody would say, like, well, she has alpha gal. I'm like, ah, well, at the moment, it's getting worked on, though. The Lord is healing. I was like, for now, I can't have that. For now, I have to avoid that. And I would just start with that expectation of the Lord's going to heal me. I know it's going to happen. He said it was so. And so then I was walking in confidence with that. And that made such a difference. And I started speaking in expectation and confidence in my whole life, in everything, in all the things that I was doing, without that doubt, and instead with the confidence piece. And after my husband spoke to me, and then I ate that food that day, which he still says, like, we talk about it a little bit some, and he was like, he still says, I don't know. He said, the only thing I can think of is how I spoke to you like that is it had to have been the Holy Spirit in me, he said, because I was shocked at myself and the words that came out, which is exactly what I needed. I needed to hear the authority in him, knowing that had to be the Holy Spirit, not just him talking to me. And after that, though, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, right? So he's not going to easily give up just because I've decided to start walking in the truth now. Because for all these years, these 39 years, I have been walking in those lies. So he did not want to give up easily. So what that looked like after that was, it wasn't just like, okay, I'm healed. Yay. My thoughts have changed completely. Everything's better. That's not exactly how that happened. So yes, I could eat. And yes, I knew I am going to eat this in confidence that the Lord has healed me completely. But the enemy then would come in sometimes, and especially in those first couple of weeks, often he would come in and say, are you really healed though? Which would make me think of Eve in the garden, right? Questioning, what did the Lord really tell you? Mm. And he would come in numerous times. And I remember once I was going to, this was probably like the week after, and I had had a burrito, a morning burrito that I was going to eat on my drive to Abilene. And from Sweetwater to Abilene, the best way I can put this is that I had a battle in the car. And the Lord really helped like me have the words of confidence that I knew I needed to stand on. But the enemy was coming at me strong and would say things to me like, you know, you're just going to end up in the hospital, or what are you going to do? There's no hospital between Sweetwater and Abilene, and you're going to be on the side of the road and you're going to die and your children aren't going to have a mom anymore. And he was coming strong at me, all because I'm eating this burrito. And I remember that I had to just, I mean, I just started speaking in authority and telling the enemy the things that I knew were true. Like, no, Christ abides in me. He said he's healing me. This food is good for me. I know that he has completely healed me, and you are not even allowed to be here right now. And I would just start saying all this stuff. And this is what happened, like the whole drive. And I just kept standing on it and standing on it and standing on it. And he would come back at, ooh, you feel your body? Like, that's the start of an allergic reaction. Or he would just start, you know, whispering these little things to me that would have worked before. And I just kept standing on the truth and standing on the truth. And just, I mean, out loud, I laugh that if you could have been a fly in the car and heard all the things that came out of my mouth, that shocked me, that came out of my mouth. And by the time I got to where I was going in Abilene and I parked my car, I just felt this peace and this just complete peace and love come over me. And I was like, whew, all right, that's done. And he still has tried. Like, I felt like the first several weeks, especially, he kept questioning and questioning and seeing, is she going to stand? Is she going to stand? Is she still going to stand firm? And I would, there was once my husband took me out for a steak dinner. Yes, a steak dinner. And we were eating, and I was like so thankful. And I remember saying out loud just how thankful I am for this food when we were praying. And then we were eating and we were laughing and talking. And then suddenly, you know, the enemy starts at me and starts saying, ooh, your body feels a little funny. You can't actually eat this. Did the Lord really heal you? You know, asking again. And I remember I just put my hands up in the air in the restaurant. And I was like, thank you, Jesus, for this delicious food. Thank you that you have healed me. Thank you that you abide in me. And this food is going to be good and nourishing for my body. And of course, my husband is just staring at me. And then I put my hand down. He said, are you okay? And I said, I am now.
That's awesome. What a testimony.
He doesn't give up easy.
Yep, that's right. I mean, as you get onto the truth, I mean, he's going to just come and repackage that lie and just keep tempting you to walk in a lie again. So, I mean, what an amazing strength and perseverance. And just, like you said, standing. Just speak that truth out. But Angie, mm-hmm. as she was saying, as Madonna was talking, I was thinking, I could, some of these listeners might be thinking, well, isn't that just name it and claim it? So, Because I mean, there is a lot of, there's some false doctrine, false prophets. There's, we don't need to get off on all these different tangents, but I'll get that. Well, that's prosperity message, or that's name it and claim it, or that's this, or that's that. But, and I'm sure y'all get some of that too. So, what, any thoughts you have on folks that might be questioning this, or if they haven't heard this? Now, I do want to just say real quick, because this verse, for some reason, I don't think I really ever knew it before, but Mark 7:13, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition or doctrines of man, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. I just never saw that before until recently. And these traditions, doctrines of man, religious man-made, man-influenced traditions, we got to be careful and open our mind to the possibility that there's things in the word that we haven't seen before. We don't understand. We don't know. We didn't get that. It just jumps off the page at you this time when you read it. So, but anyways, thoughts there where people might have doubt, might have questions, or might, just some traditions of man that you've run into.
I mean, it really just, it's not about just saying whatever you want and getting whatever you want or anything like that at all. All of it comes out of your relationship with God and just agreeing with God about who he says he is and who he says you are. So you're not saying anything that he didn't already say is true about you. So I think that's the difference. And also, it's not a formula. You don't just even take the word and just start speaking it all over the place and you don't have a relationship. That's not how it works either. It all comes out of your relationship, and he guides you and shows you the truth so that you can speak in agreement with him. Like she said, the enemy is crafty to come and introduce lies, but he's defeated and he can't do anything in your life unless you give up your authority and make an agreement with him. And he's going to use fear and circumstances and other people's circumstances and negative comments about your health and all these things to get you to agree with him, just like he did with Eve, to get you to doubt God and doubt his faithfulness and doubt his trustworthy. And then you're going to doubt yourself. And so it's really just about having that relationship with him and letting him show you the truth and then agreeing with him. He did say, let the weak say they're strong. Why is that? It's not like he wants you to go around lying. He wants you to agree with him and say who you are in Christ.
Never me. It's never the authority that I have without Christ. It's only with Christ in me, the authority that I speak. And I want to say how powerful our words are. I mean, God spoke and it was, right? He spoke and created. Jesus told the disciples that all these things that I have done that you will do too. And he told them that you will speak to the mountain and it will be moved. So our words are so powerful, and he tells us to stand on those words. And he also told us that with men, things are impossible, but with God, all things are impossible. Or excuse me, I said that wrong. All things are possible. So either we're going to believe the truth or we're not.
Yeah.
And something to add there, Ben, that I wanted to just say, it's so important for the body to be discerning and not just believe everything that comes along. And I would say that all of us talking today would encourage every listener to go look at this for yourself. Look, see what the word says about everything that we're saying. Don't just believe us. However, with the whole, that's name it, claim it, or that's word of faith, or whatever you want to label these things, what it's done is it's made us vulnerable to the enemy, so that now the majority of the church has an easier time hearing from the enemy than they do from God. And that's such an unfortunate thing. I mean, we have a large portion of the church today that doesn't even think that God speaks anymore. So he's definitely crafty. And I learned early on in my journey, anytime that something offends me or catches me off guard that somebody says about the Lord or the word or whatever, I don't need my flesh to respond to that. I need to take a minute and seek out the truth. And yes, sometimes it was wrong, But a lot of times it was right, and it just offended some religious statue that I had. So I would just encourage people not to dismiss things like that because, oh, that's name it, claim it, or that's prosperity gospel. No, just look at the word, see what the truth is.
Yeah.
And you have to remove those boundaries that you have put on what you believe the truth is before you go and read it and see what it says. Because I feel like a lot of us, myself included, was bound up in different religious doctrine that you've been taught your whole life, or that you've been, the main church has put out there. And then you have to come at scripture and move those things away, take those things out of your mind, and look at it as you are a, you can understand it yourself. And you need to look and see, does this line up with the word says? Because so often what we think the word says and what it actually says are very different.
And I would encourage people to start that by, I mean, it's something that I had to do. I had to finally come to the end of myself and say, Lord, I want to know you. I don't want to know you through a Baptist lens or a Methodist lens or a Church of Christ lens. I want to know you. And you really have to get to a place where you come to the end of yourself and loving the beliefs that you've had over what the word says.
Yeah.
And I would encourage, I know Andrew Womack, when he was on with Dr. Ben last week, was so amazing. I see perfectly how God put that in the middle of my testimony, and it was so perfect. I love it. I would encourage the listeners also to go look up Dan Moeller, look up his identity sermon. That was a big piece for me because it lined up with everything that Dr. Ben was saying, everything that Angie and Nicole was saying. And then I remember listening to it on the way home from Veritas and just going, wow, all the truth that Pastor Dan Moeller was speaking that lined up with all of this. And it really helped me to really look at the word and look at what the word says. Who did Jesus say we are? Who are we? What is our life supposed to look like with him abiding in us? And what type of authority and confidence are we supposed to be walking in? And it changed. I mean, you all can see it changed my life so much to be able to look at the truth. And we're realizing so many false teachings and believings that we had been, our whole family had been acting out of or walking in. And now we're looking at the truth, and it's like the veil has been removed and we're seeing it for what it actually is and says, instead of this viewpoint of what we're told it says.
Yeah, it's really good. And I want to throw this piece in. I mean, we haven't, yeah, I'll have some folks say, well, if this is true, well, then why did so-and-so isn't healed or died, or I prayed for them or whatever. And like I said at the beginning of the show, I don't have every answer, but that doesn't keep me from seeking the truth. And I want to go back to 10 years ago when my nurse practitioner came to me and said he was healed of celiac disease, his own personal celiac disease he'd had for 10 or 15 years. And I totally laughed at him because that's not curable, is what I was taught in medical school. But the evidence right in front of me showed that he was. So then I had to be curious and ask that question. Is it possible that he did some things to help set his body up to be healed? And that was a question. And I didn't know the answer. I have this. He's sitting right in front of me. I can see it with my own eyes. And so I pursued. I based off one case, one anecdotal report, I pursued that. And doesn't mean every single celiac patient walks in health or can eat gluten again or whatever. But I pursued it. So I'm going to encourage folks to pursue that. Even if the question comes, well, what about this and this and this? That doesn't change what the word says. Go pursue, seek ye first the kingdom. It's just like if I said, go to oasisofhope.com, click on cancer survivors, and you'll see a bunch of bar graphs. I'm looking at the breast cancer survival rates. When the Oasis of Hope was the first treatment option, the one-year survival rate, Oasis of Hope, 100%, versus National Cancer Institute, 65%. And then two-year survival, 90% versus 44%. 3-year survival, 83% versus 32%. 4-year survival, 78% versus 25%. And then 5-year survival, 75% of folks using Oasis of Hope protocols are alive at 5 years out with their breast cancer versus 20% using National Cancer Institute protocols. So just because only 75% of Oasis of Hope got healed, what about the other 25% that died? I don't know. I don't know about them, but 75% are still alive at 5 years compared to the protocols used at the National Cancer Institute. So probably I want to really pursue and consider and at least look at study about pursuing those protocols that get a better outcome, even though it's not 100%. So even if we don't have every single answer, we don't have it all completely. I mean, obviously we're not Jesus walking in complete 100% truth all the time. But we're pursuing this thing, and there's so much there to pursue. So just want to throw that piece in there. We've got about 10 minutes left, ladies. All great, great input. I know all three of y'all could probably talk for the next 10 minutes, but kind of any final thoughts in these last 10 minutes, or I'll keep rambling.
I was thinking about the piece of that, what is the will of the Lord? And a lot of times we get caught in that, well, if it's the Lord's will, I know that, you know, in prayer, a lot of times for different people, that's what we say, but we know the will of God. The will of God is told to us in scripture. And so many times we're told that you would walk in his will, that you know his will. And he said that his will is that none should perish. And his will is that we would be made whole and be made well, and that we would accept the forgiveness that he's given us, and that we have no condemnation on us. So if we understand that and come from a perspective of we do know the will of God, I am not God, so I can't say why things happen here or there, but I do know that I'm to stand on his word and the truth. And his truth says that he wants me well and whole. So that's where I'm going to walk from.
Amen.
Well, and truthfully, the word says anything is possible to him who believes. It doesn't say except for healing or except for anything. I mean, the word is really clear. If you ask God to show you the truth about any subject, he will. He is so faithful to do that. And I trust that he'll do that for anyone who really wants to know the truth. If you hear something new and you instantly reject it, well, the enemy's going to come immediately and steal the word. One, if you don't understand it, but also if you just reject it. And if anything that you see in the word or hear us say in scripture offends you, you're getting mad at something in the word, then there's something wrong. You know, we're not saying anything that we haven't seen for ourselves in the word, that the Holy Spirit has walked us into to receive whatever it is we were needing in our lives, whether it's healing or any other miracle. It's the same thing. You have a relationship with God, and the Holy Spirit walks you into the manifestation of what you're believing for step by step, whether he, you know, tells you to do something or tells you not to do something. He does it out of that relationship, but that's his desire, that's his job, is to lead you into all truth, guide you into all truth, so that you can walk in the victory and the freedom that Jesus died for you to have. It's not his desire for you to be bound and oppressed by the enemy. You know, Jesus came and healed all sickness, all those who were oppressed of the enemy, oppressed by the devil. So anyway,
all in love. Mm-hmm, that's where it all stems from, is love. He's not a mean God up there. Like Jesus never told us to do something that was impossible for us to do. That would be a mean, vengeful God that's up there laughing. Ha ha, I told them to do this, but it's not going to be possible. Let's watch them try, right? Mm-hmm. That's not who he is. He is love. And I would encourage listeners, go read 1 John. I think for a while there, especially during my time of healing and afterwards, I just stayed in 1 John all the time, every day. And I would just reread it and reread it, because to me, it is the love book. It talks all about love and walking in love, and how are we to love each other and ourselves and abiding in Christ, because he is love. And I would just encourage you just to remember that he is a loving, gracious, merciful God. And he wants you to be walking in that love. And that offense that you talked about there, Angie, like there's offense and love can't abide together. So if I'm acting in love, walking in love, talking in love, then I'm not going to be offended. I'm not going to be frustrated. I'm going to be having that perspective of Christ is abiding in me, and I'm going to walk out the truth in love.
And kind of going off that, if folks will go look up every time Jesus healed, I think it was out of compassion, and he had compassion for them, and then he healed them. That's his compassion and this love. And in 1 John 3:8, I pulled it up, Madonna, before you even said 1 John. The Son of God was manifested. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. I mean, that clearly states Jesus' purpose for coming into the earth, destroy the works of the devil, which I would put sickness and disease. I mean, the devil came to steal and to kill and destroy, and Jesus came to give life. Which column does sickness and disease fall under? I mean, obviously not life. So he's here out of love and for compassion, and he's here to destroy these works of the devil. So when you look at all of Scripture, the entirety of everything, it's so awesome. It's such an awesome, awesome story that we're still learning. It's still unfolding. We're still getting deeper into it and discovering these things. And Madonna, obviously you also, this whole talk today just reminded me of the verse I've been quoting every show. I think Proverbs 4:20, my son, be attentive to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. So that's going to the words. What's the truth? What's the word say about this? Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. And that verse popped into my mind when you're talking about being at the steak dinner with your husband and put your hands up in the air at the restaurant. I mean, that word was in your heart. Angie mentioned you don't just randomly throw some scripture out there, but you believed it. Your battle between Sweetwater and Abilene in the car that first week, this was coming out of your heart. You were being attentive. You were inclining your ear, not letting them escape your sight, being in the word, reading 1 John every single day. But out of your heart, and the rest of that verse says, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. It's a relational thing. It's a heart thing. It's a truth thing. It's identifying the lies and replacing them with the truth. You're in your personal looking at who you are and those lies were the enemy, and you've agreed, yeah, I am. It is my fault, or I'm a failure, or I'm only loved through performance, or whatever the thing is. So
we're warned so often to be watchful, mm-hmm. to don't let ourselves be deceived, to don't let ourselves be swayed by doctrine here and there, you know. So we know that that's so easy to happen. But when you said that, that made me think of a scripture that I have up here, right? It's 1 John as well, 3:18, and it says, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, that's the wrong thinking, right? That's us condemning ourselves. God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, so we cast those things aside and we stand on truth, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight.
Amen.
That's good.
We're about out of time, Nicole. I don't want to leave you out. If you had any final words of wisdom, you talk with a lot of patients every day, a lot of wellness. And I want to say that our wellness education program, you don't have to be a patient. You can sign up. It's like $20 a month, the equivalent of that, and have access to all kinds of online resources and in-person resources, phone calls with these navigators, classes to learn the physical things, the diet, you know, the food, eat God food, different things, but also you have access to having conversations like this. And like Madonna said, it was really questions. I mean, I wasn't in the room, but it sounds like Angie and Nicole just kept kind of putting questions out there, posing questions to Madonna to consider and go pray on and seek in the word. But any final word, Nicole or Angie?
No, the only thing that I would say is, you know, a deceived person is deceived and they don't really know that they're deceived. Mm-hmm. So we've kind of grown up thinking that the devil's trying to make us bad or make us sin. But the truth is, he didn't come before Eve to make her do bad things or make her a bad person. The way he approached her was to make her question God's goodness or who God was. And that's what he does to us too. If he can skew our thinking just a little, then we'll look up and before long we're way off path. So that's his motive. I just think people should keep that in mind. He's not trying to make you bad. He's trying to skew your thinking.
Yeah, that's really good.
And I'll also share, I don't have any hurt or anything held up from the past anymore, because I'm transformed and new now. What in the world does the past matter? I'm new in Christ and I get to walk in him every day. And he has let those things are gone now. I know I talked about them before, all the things from my past that happened, but that's not me anymore because I'm transformed now.
Amen. A new creation. All right.
Amen.
We're out of time. Thank you, Angie, Nicole, and Madonna. What a great hour conversation. We will have this posted on our website archive page under the podcast page, guys. So please go listen to it again and again if you want to or need to, or share it with your friends. The point of this is to encourage folks, encourage you to ask questions and seek ye first the kingdom. We'll be back next week with another show. I think it'll just be me answering questions. So y'all send those questions in info@veritasmedical.com or mail them to us or through our social media, or call or text during the show next week. Ladies, thank you again for joining us. Look forward to maybe a future conversation. Part 4.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. I'm Dr. Ben Edwards. You're the cure. See you next week.